Park, museum educator at the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art, and today I'm talking with local artist Brian Park and industrial designer David Ellis. Brian and David are participating in the museum's Double Vision lecture series. For Double Vision, the museum brings together artists and experts whose areas of interest intersect with one another and with themes presented in our current exhibitions. Tonight's lecture is in conjunction with the exhibition The Map is Art, on view through April 21st, and made possible with the support of exhibition sponsor Garmin. From what I know about both of you, you both have always loved making things. Tell me how you got from hobbyist to where you are today.
Well, it all started with me when I was little, building Lincoln Logs and Legos and moving up to building model kits. I made my own pair of Air Jordans. It was probably about 25, 30 years ago. I wanted a pair of Air Jordans. My parents were like, no, we're not buying you those. That's like $50. And so they got me a pair of Pro Wings. And Pro Wings logo was a total knockoff of the Nike emblem. And they added a little leg underneath. So I went down to my basement and I cut off that little tab. And I painted my basketball shoes the black and red, just like Air Jordans. And I painted it with acrylic paint. And so when I went out to play basketball, you know, all the boys were like, whoa, those are really cool. You got Air Jordans. I'm like, yeah, I got Air Jordans. Well, after we started playing, the paint started kind of cracking on it. And then it rained and the colors were all running off. And they're like, dude, what's wrong with your shoes? And I'm, you know, the cat was out of the hole. And that was my first experience with beginning to use clear coat. And so from there on, I just have always enjoyed building and making things. And I never thought in my life that I'd ever have a dream job where I was paid to do that.
I started in much the same way, playing with toys that were construction sets or Legos or my dad's old Erector set that I found in the attic. And had an opportunity in high school to take some metalsmithing classes and fell in love with it. And that has led to my current career as an educator and a metalsmith.
Brian and I were fortunate to visit David's studio at Garmin in Olathe. And when we were walking around, it was not unlike a very well-equipped metal studio. Brian, you recognized a lot of the equipment and the tools. However, the purpose of the objects that you both make is very different. Tell us a little bit about what you do at Garmin, David, and why you make things for Garmin.
My job at Garmin, actually my title is a prototype specialist model maker, and I support the designers. Each designer will design up, whether it be a running watch, into the SolidWorks, and that drawing will be sent to a three-dimensional printer called an object machine, and this object machine will print off the three-dimensional drawing. And so in this case, let's say it's a watch. As this watch comes out, it still has topography on it, and I go in there and I sand off that topography, and they would already have drawings laid out of the certain colors or textures that's on it, put in faux screens, chromatext with logos, and then it would be sent to a meeting where it would be approved. It would then be sent for mass production for consumers.
Let me ask you another question and follow up. Do you think about the purpose or how the objects will be used when you're designing them, or you really just make the physical objects that have already been designed?
No, our designers, we go through a process where we go... the designers that actually are in the Outdoor Rec and Fitness group are real runners. They are real cyclists. They go through the research of saying, why would we put a button on this watch here when if they stretch, they're going to keep on constantly pressing that button that they don't want to press.
And Brian, you have a different customer or a viewer in mind when you make your work. What are you trying to communicate with the objects that you make?
Well, I guess it's similar in a sense to the process that David just described of going through iterations of ideas, thinking about how the viewer is going to interact with something. In this case, it's not necessarily aerodynamics or physical performance, but what the experience of the object is going to be and what sort of references it might have to other objects that might help the sculpture or the installation convey meaning. And for me, those meanings are often having to do with how we think about the places we've been or how we try to attach ourselves to those places and those places to us. And so I often use other types of objects that have associations with place in my work, plumb bobs and maps and other types of surveying and building tools, as indicators of this sort of attachment and connection to the idea of place.
The Map as Art is inspired by the best-selling book of the same title. The next Double Vision lecture, in conjunction with the exhibition, will take place on Friday, February 22, 2013. Double Vision, Borders and Boundaries will include insights from artist Tanya Hartman, and professor of geography at the University of Oregon, Amy Loban, will present her work developing tactile maps for the blind and partially sighted.